The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to November 2008.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and today we have three superstars on our panel. We have two regulars and one visiting professor, so let me introduce them to you. To my left, from the College of Engineering and Science, the director of our pre-college engineering programs, it's Dan, the DAPSEP man, Maggio.
Hi, Kathy.
And it's starting to wind down now, isn't it?
It is done. It is over.
The children have been sent home.
They have been sent home with their parents.
But they seem like a good group this
time.
It was
a great group.
Yeah, at the far end of the table, someone who's been with us before, also from the Department of Mathematics and Engineering and Sciences, the Master of Calculus, it's Professor Lazarus Kikas.
Hello, Kathy. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. Yeah, so how's the Calc gang doing?
They're trying.
They're trying, okay. Yes. In more than one way, I'm sure. They're trying hard themselves and trying your last raw nerve on occasion,
yes,
I bet. Oh, yes indeed.
True.
Yes, we were just noting that there's 3 weeks left to the semester, and one of those will be a short week, because of the American Thanksgiving holiday. And I know that cuts like into your class. I teach at 8 Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and you've got Calc like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Yes. And I get a Wednesday night class as well.
Oh, what do you do to get them to come on Wednesday
night? Well, I'm not sure what I'm doing. Maybe I'll bribe them or something.
I was going to say, a bribery. I used to hand out candy on Wednesday night, the one time I taught a Wednesday night class before Thanksgiving. I did. I said, we'll have a party. And I bought in like candy and snacks and stuff.
Hmm.
And then I also said you might have a pop quiz.
That's one way to do it.
I didn't know what else to do because I knew if I didn't do something, that room would be empty.
Giving away frozen turkey sometimes.
That would have worked. And that's the voice of visiting professor Ron Naske from the College of Liberal Arts and Education.
Hey, Kathy. Nice to be back.
I'm so glad to have you back. And I like that turkey idea.
Yeah.
I do.
Well,
I worked there
for WKRP.
Well.
That's a good episode.
Except that's right. They didn't fly. That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
Les Nessman and all.
They're showing those again.
Are you kidding?
On WGN on Sundays at 7, I think. They do a little like retro night.
Oh, my goodness.
But that is one of my favorite shows.
Was that Herb's idea to drop the turkeys?
Yes, I think it was.
It had to be.
Yeah.
But wasn't it Les that was up in the...
He was reporting.
He was reporting, that's right.
From the ground.
Oh my God, the humanity.
Good stuff.
Well, this is a show where you can send us questions about turkeys, about the holiday, about calculus, about kids, whatever you want to send. And we just have a new supply of Tech Day t-shirts. Woohoo! So if you stump the panel, you get a lovely t-shirt. And if you don't stump the panel, you still get a t-shirt. So get those questions to us in one of several ways.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Or send it U.S. Postal Service, because, you know, those forever stamps last forever. Care of the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols in Detroit, Michigan, 48221. And we're going to start off with a set of questions from Dennis Renaud. And these questions are dealing with trivia with the movie Casablanca.
Mm.
And we're really fortunate to have Ron here because Ron is like the supreme Bogart fan of the world.
My favorite film of all time.
Is it?
Yes.
So is there any other Bogart film that you think comes close to Casablanca?
To Have and Have Not actually is one of my favorites. And then, of course, Key Largo.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yes, Key Largo.
Key Largo is a great film. Now, what do you think about The African Queen?
I love The African Queen. I'm just not, and I know this is going to sound terrible to some people, I'm not a real big Kate Hepburn fan.
The calla lilies are in bloom again. Such a lovely flower. You don't like her Bryn Mawr accent?
I enjoy her performance in that.
Yeah, and he won the Academy Award for that, didn't
he? Yes, it was a wonderful film. It's just, as a bogey I think Kate really
carried the film.
She
is so annoying in that movie, in the beginning of it, especially when she pours his gin into the Congo River. I want like an alligator to come up and just snatch her right off that boat and chomp her on down.
When the films in that era got to be a little bit of political, and you can understand it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it got away from the drama and was a lot of politics. So, I prefer the ones that were story-based, plot-based.
Sure. And Key Largo is such an incredible story, though. It's just such a good story. Okay, well, sadly, Dennis doesn't set an agenda for us. He just hopes that we'll enjoy the questions, but he doesn't give us a scale. So I guess we're just going to have to set our – we'll have to do a self-score here, folks. So, Tay.
80%.
80% is usually our standard, Ron. Mm-hmm. We say 80% is passing.
80% sounds good.
So we'll go with that. What two movie stars were first considered for the leads in Casablanca?
Ronald Reagan.
Isn't that amazing?
Really?
Isn't that strange?
Ronald
I know.
Reagan. Wow.
Could you imagine Reagan playing Rick?
Yeah.
No.
I know.
No. I didn't know him back then, based on...
based on his presidency.
I'm not sure, but wasn't Jane Wyman one of the other...
They don't mention Jane Wyman. This is another actress. She was big in the 40s. I'm trying to think of some other roles that she had. Her initials were A.S. Her first name is the same as my sister.
Ann.
Uh-huh.
Ann Sheridan.
Ann Sheridan, that's right. And again, a beautiful woman.
Yes.
Good actress, but it's just hard to imagine Ann Sheridan playing this part of a European. I don't know. Okay, the part of Colonel Renault also had another person considered for that part. And this was a young star who had actually done some musical work as well.
It wasn't Maurice Chevalier?
Not Maurice Chevalier, no.
Mm.
This is an American, again, so I'm really surprised how they were really going for these Americans in a film that would have been set in French Morocco.
Joel Grey?
No, initials here, D.M.
Mm-mm. Dean Martin?
That would have been interesting, actually. I think Dino might have pulled off the Paisano a little more. Dennis Morgan.
Of course.
But I'm really surprised that they would have looked at Dennis Morgan for that role. I just find that really strange.
That's where casting directors earn their money, I'll tell you
Maybe that's it, yeah. Hal B. Wallace was the person really responsible for getting Bogart the part. Why? So how Wallace
knew him?
The bribery.
When he was good friends with him?
Yes, he was. They were very good friends at Warner's, and he was looking. Bogart had come to him saying he'm looking for another role, and Wallace said, "Oh, I'm not sure you'd be interested in this," but he wrote to Jack Warner the next day and said, "I have found a role that is perfect," and then nobody else was ever considered for the part on Wallace's advice.
Yeah, he definitely made the role, but him and Ingrid Bergman together, just kind of like...
But once you see those flashback scenes in Paris, though...
It's kind of like As Good As It Gets, Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt. It's just like a grandfather with a...
Oh, so you think that was kind of looking too old? Is that it?
It just doesn't... It wasn't clicking.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
But not as much in Casablanca. But there was a little bit of that for me. He didn't... I don't know. Anyway.
Okay. Actually, Casablanca was part of the war effort. When did the Allies invade Casablanca in real life, that is, in history?
That would have been 1943, wouldn't it?
It was one of the early 40s.
Real close.
44.
Casablanca. Casablanca is also famous for an important meeting. Who attended that meeting?
In Casablanca, I was thinking of Yalta.
Well... You're right on the right track.
Then FDR,
Churchill,
uh-huh.
And Stalin.
Stalin didn't make it. He said that there was too much going on in the Soviet Union, which it was, actually. If you look at that time in 42, that would have been
getting his mustache waxed.
Or getting a manicure, which he actually did get. He actually used to get his nails buffed. This is a true historic fact.
Hmm.
Not kidding you. So for the leader of a communist party in a socialist world, good nails, honey, always matter.
Yeah.
So, no, he claimed, and it was. That was the time of Stalingrad and battles that way. So maybe truly he was. But Casablanca, the conference, is famous because they asked for an unconditional surrender from Germany. was just another little history fun fact to pull in there. True or false, Ingrid Bergman was a contract player with Warner Brothers Studios.
No, she was loaned out to Warner Brothers Studios for the film.
That's right. Yeah, he notes here, Dennis writes, really, her contract was owned by producer David O. Selznick. And so, actually, it was the film's writers, he notes, Philip G. Epstein and Julius Epstein, persuaded Selznick to loan her to Warner Brothers for the picture.
They really regretted that loan, too.
I bet they did. I'm sure they truly did. You know, that must have been really hard that way. True or false, Max Steiner, who did the musical score for Casablanca, wrote the song As Time Goes By.
That's false.
That is false. You're absolutely right.
And I'm trying to remember the name of the gentleman who wrote As Time Goes By, and they didn't want to use it. And it finally, they finally made the decision post-production to keep it in. Very good decision.
Really good decision. I can't imagine that. He notes here that no, actually, Warner's asked Steiner to write an original song. In order to qualify for film royalties. So I guess if you write your own score that you get
money. Wallace was not happy with As Time Goes By, and he finally just allowed it to stay in post-production. And there was something to do with the scene, and Bogey had already contracted for another film, and they were going to bring him back and shoot the scene with the new song, and he had grown a beard or something like for it. And so they decided to just stay with it. It was a good decision.
Wow. Yeah, it's so amazing to me to think how many ways they could have screwed this movie up. I mean, you know, because it's like just such a great film in so many ways. It just doesn't seem right. Producer Hal Wallace considered one European actress for the role of Ilsa after the American Anne Sheridan was turned down. Who was that?
That would have been Greta Garbo, no?
No, I would have gone with Garbo, too. This is an actress, I think, of German background, although she played...
Marlena Dietrich?
Not Marlena Dietrich, no.
She would have been great.
Actually, would she ever have been? You are so right.
Did you see her in Witness for the Prosecution?
That is one of my all-time favorite films. Yeah. If that is ever on, I don't care what time of day or night, I will stay up and look like The Walking Dead the next day to watch Witness for the Prosecution. Mm. First of all, because of Charles Laughton. I think he's magnificent.
He's great,
but she... Yeah. Is unbelievable in that film.
She knows how to play the cold.
Ooh,
woman.
Cold like a bag of dry ice.
So who was this? European lady.
Well, we think about European lady. Let's take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Todd George is right from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts, Professor Kathy Bush.
Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Really glad. Very glad.
And on Kathy's right from the Department of History, also Professor Greg Sumner.
Hi, Edwin.
Hi, Greg.
Please pass the cool whip.
The cool whip. Name the headsman who bungled Monmouth's execution.
Wow. Oh, really? Ooh,
Stephen the Clumsy.
Nice.
One-armed prince.
That's it, really. Now, was he a French swordsman?
No, he wasn't. Not like Anne Boleyn.
Okay,
no,
so they didn't. No. She had
was
such
a local hack. This was a man named Jack Ketch.
Well,
K-E-T-C-H.
Don't know him.
Name the artist who painted the Duke of Monmouth's post-decapitation portrait.
I'd
love to see that in the National Portrait Gallery.
I have seen that.
It is in Gainsborough.
No, it's not.
Darn.
No. Or Constable.
Really, the Scarlet Stump. He had some really horrible names.
No, they sewed it back on so that a post-mortem painting could be done.
It might have appeared in Hieronymus Bosch, but
why
is
it suspiciously
wide
ascot?
No, it's no one. It's Sir Godfrey Kneller, K-N-E-L-L-E-R.
Oh, yeah, Kneller.
Oh, you know him.
You know that name?
Oh, yeah, Nervous Kneller.
Nervous Kneller.
Ever since he did that picture, he's had these bad dreams.
Listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from November 2008. Matt Mayo and the current panel of professors will return later this summer with more brand new episodes of Ask the Professor. So send your questions today to atp@udmercy.edu.
And we're back with questions about trivia on Casablanca from Dennis Renaud. And so far, you've only missed one. So not bad. Not bad. So let's, yeah, that's one out of seven. So what percentage is that, Math Man?
14%.
We're kind of chomping on the bit on the European actress.
Actually, the name of this actress is one that they really rather make fun of in the film Blazing Saddles. It's the part, yeah.
Come on, Dan.
That the governor plays.
The governor plays.
Well, yes. Yes. It's the initials are HL.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking.
Hedy Lamarr.
Hedy Lamarr. That's it. Yeah. But he's, I think isn't his name Hedley, isn't that it?
Yeah, Hedley.
Yeah, that. But he gets people. Keep
but
confusing.
I thought you were talking about the lady's character.
What was the script based on? What unproduced play was the script for Casablanca?
You better.
Based
I have
on.
A copy of the script.
Yeah, you were talking about that. It does have the name of Rick in it. I can give you that.
Rick's Place. Rick's Place.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's like a night at Rick's.
Everybody Comes to Rick was the working title of the script from there. And he says here that Samuel Marks of MGM wanted to offer the authors, Murray Burnett and Joan Allison, $5,000 for it. But MGM boss Louis B. Mayer refused. A member of the Warner Brothers story department praised it so highly to Jack Warner that he agreed to eventually pay that $20,000 to them for the script. I mean, that's so incredible.
That was a lot of money back then, though.
Oh, $20,000 in 1941 must have been like a fortune.
It's a lot
for
now.
Somebody. Well, maybe, yeah, but for, think of somebody coming out of the Depression.
Yeah.
That must have been like an incredible sum
of money.
You mean
like what we're in now?
Yeah. Oh, no. We're just in a period of deflation right now. What was the name of the actor who played the part of Sam, the piano player?
Ron, you got to come through on these.
It's a name like
It's Dooley, uh-huh.
Wilson.
Dooley Wilson, that's right.
All right.
Yeah, true or false, did he play the piano or fake playing the piano?
He really played it.
No, he didn't.
Oh, thought he really did.
He said no. He was a professional drummer originally.
Right.
The music was recorded at the same time as the film, but the piano playing was actually a recording of a performance by a man named Elliot Carpenter, who was playing behind a curtain but was positioned so that Dooley had watched him and copied his hand movements, so when they started filming, that it appeared like he was... So he must have been dead clever to do that. I mean, I would really think so. Who directed Casablanca?
Hal Roach, wasn't it?
He's the producer, Hal Roach.
Oh.
This is the director. He's a Hungarian director. He did a lot of films first in Britain before he came to Hollywood.
Mm.
Initials are M.C.,
Mazostrovsky.
No, his first name is a pretty common name used in the United States.
Mike.
Michael. Yes, Michael. Okay.
Mike Stanislavski.
No, with a C. C is the last name.
I thought you said S.
No, I'm sorry. That's my syllabant S.
Chapman.
It's Michael Curtiz. Have you ever seen like The Charge of the Light Brigade? Mm-hmm. He directed that.
No.
I'm surprised it's not on the poster that I have.
Yep.
Yeah,
otherwise,
you would think
I'm
it
picturing
really would.
The poster. They have Roach and they have Wallace.
Wallace. Yes, Wallace. Well, Hal B. Wallace's name was like in every
don't
film
have the director's
at Warner's,
name. That's
like for how long that way. He adds a note here that Curtiz's Hungarian accent often caused confusion on the set. One day he asked a prop man for a poodle to appear in one of the scenes at the airport. The prop man searched high and low for the poodle while the entire crew waited. He finally found a poodle, presented it to Curtiz, who cursed at him and screamed, "I want a poodle of water." So I'm just trying to imagine what the poodle would have been. Okay. Speaking of airports, what was one of the problems with filming airport scenes during World War II?
Lights out.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, it was because it was made during the war. They're not allowed to film at an airport after dark because of security reasons. They were supposed to be following blackout conditions, and of course, movie lights would have been like really, really crazy. What star played the part of Victor Laszlo in that film?
He was. I know this. I can see.
He was
him.
In Now Voyager with Betty Davis.
He was initially going to be the main star in it, and he really complained when Bogey took
that's
the main role.
That's interesting. Okay, yeah, I'm going to give it to you. It's Paul Henri.
Paul Henri.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
But they know that it's almost perfect for what he noted here. That Paul Henri was upset over being turned into a secondary character.
Oh, he almost walked.
Yeah, it said that he was so upset he almost left the film. He felt that playing that secondary character would ruin his career as a romantic leading man. Which he did because he had just been in Now Voyager, for example, which, that, I mean, he was the male lead across from Bette Davis in that film.
You know, there's
which was also another Warner's film.
There's one thing we skipped over, Dooley Wilson, but there's a famous trivia question that comes from that, and I was waiting to see if he brought that up, and that is, did he really say, play it again, Sam? And the answer is he never said, play it again,
well,
Sam.
Well, that's interesting. That's one of the further questions down. He said, you played it for her, you can play it for me.
Right. Never said, play it again, Sam. Yeah. And yet, that was one of the most often quoted lines in the film, and it was a misquote.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, I was going to say, it's not even that film. Wow. Now, what airport did they use to do the filming to make it appear to be the Casablanca airport?
It wasn't Orly, we know that.
No, it wasn't in Paris.
Was it somewhere in the States?
Yeah, it's in the States.
Reno, Nevada.
No, actually, this really surprises me because I didn't even know this little place outside of Los Angeles even had an airport.
Burbank?
Close enough, Van Nuys. I mean, I...
Wow.
I did not know that. That is. That's really, really strange. I shouldn't say strange, but true. This line from the film was voted as the number one of the 100 greatest movie lines by Premiere Magazine in 2007.
There are like five lines from the movie that are in the top 100.
Are just classic? Well, this one, I think...
it's not of all the gin joints, no.
No, no.
It's...
yeah.
It was a beautiful friendship.
That was rated number six.
We'll always have Paris.
Time. That's we'll number 42 is one. It's Here's Looking at You, Kid.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is really more of
he
like
says a, it six times in the film, I think.
Five you got it. Six. He says six. That's six. Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I don't know why I didn't remember it. It's Sometimer's disease.
No. I don't think it's exactly that. But each of the lines that you gave, they've mentioned these other ones that, again, this is like considered such a great line in the film in that way. And actually, I think it really is. He notes here that actually the line, "Here's looking at you, kid," was improvised by Bogart, that it was not in the original script, that
right.
It was something that he just kind of spontaneously did on his own, which is really, really interesting. Now, Louis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship, was
another one.
And there's another line that is used by Captain Renault at the airport after
the
shooting.
Oh, bring out the usual suspects?
Yes, round up the usual suspects. Yeah, which is... Yeah.
Became the name of a couple of films.
It's one of my favorite crime movies, whatever you want to call it, with Kevin Spacey.
Right.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
It's excellent.
Wonderful film.
Oh,
well, the ending is completely... It's the one movie, the most unexpected ending of any movie I've ever seen. My jaw dropped. Kidding me?
I know. Who would have thunk it?
That is very, very
amazing. Don't ruin it now.
This is what is the name of the actor who played the part of the waiter named Ludwig in the film? He played a lot of character roles and many more of them at MGM than he did at Warner's. I mean, that he played in a lot of musicals, like in The Good Old Summertime.
Yeah,
he had great cheeks, like Boogie Boogie Double Chico. He did. He had great cheeks.
Why am I thinking Lum? U-M?
No.
I'm not going to get a guess out of me.
It's S.C. Sakal.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, who was a European actor. Okay.
Yeah.
True or false, many of the actors who played Nazis in the film were actually Jews who had escaped from Nazi Germany.
I got to say true to that.
It is. It's a true fact. They note that many of them were refugees and happy to take the small salary that they were given on a daily per diem.
Wow.
And probably because of the accents, you know, that kind of helped too. And what's the song that they sing? It's not the Horde Vessel song.
The Marseillaise? Song.
No, the German soldiers. Remember, and they get into the competition.
Deutschland?
Yeah, they sing the Wach am Rhein, the Watch on the Rhine, they sing. And that's really a World War I song, not a World War II song, but but they were singing it away in that sense. Okay. The song As Time Goes By originally debuted where?
What do you mean, debuted?
It debuted in another production.
Movie or show?
It says here Broadway show.
That would have been somewhere in the 30s.
It was 1931, so I'm going to give it to you. It's a
we have to guess the
okay,
show. Oh, no, I mean, give us a chance to guess
okay.
the show. All right, I can't guess it. what was it, 1931 on Broadway?
1931 on Broadway, yeah.
Something that went to the movies afterward.
No, sadly it did not. That's what's kind of
real?
Sad. It's called Everybody's Welcome, and they said that it played for 20 performances and then closed, and that people said the only thing that
really?
Was worthwhile
was
about
the song.
Was the song. Which,
well, they got a chance to see it
which
again.
Which is really kind of interesting.
I like Carly Simon's version of it.
She does do a nice cover of that.
Yeah.
That is true. I mean, more than that. Who was the actor who played the part of Ugarte?
Oh, well, that was Peter Lorre.
Oh.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
That's such a sad scene when he's like, you know, save me, Rick, save me. And what's his line? That I stick my neck out for nobody? It sounds like so heartless. It really does. True or false, because of the height difference between Bogart and Bergman, she was forced to wear flat shoes in the film.
That's too crazy to be false, so.
No, it's true.
Well, it's true.
It's true, but they also did something.
You mean he wore the heels instead?
And I can't remember.
They did, and I was going to say, what other things did they do?
They jacked his shoes up?
They had a riser on the floor,
that's
I believe.
It. That is exactly it.
Yeah.
He
was
gives
it that
an example
bad?
That Bergman had to slouch down when they have the scene in Paris, and she asks him, or he asks her for a franc for your thoughts, and during that scene that they used like this kind of riser to kind of make their heights a little more even. Who played the part of Major Strasser?
Oh.
And this is really sad in a sense because this guy.
Conrad Veidt.
That's it, Conrad Veidt. And it's kind of sad because he was actually a refugee from Hitler's Germany.
Was he really?
Yeah. That they note here that he was a liberal and had many Jewish acquaintances and was forced to leave Germany. And you know, he plays like the uber Nazi in that film. I mean,
wow,
he plays evil Nazi
that is
dog
really,
of the century.
I never knew that.
I know. So, hey, there's something you didn't know about Casablanca.
That's,
like so amazing.
It's great trivia.
It just really is. The Paris train station where they shot the farewell scene when Rick is forcing to leave was recycled from what film?
Recycled from a film.
And this is another Warner's film.
American in Paris?
No, because that would be later.
That would be later.
That would be later.
Sorry, you're right.
Actually, I've mentioned this film, I think, already. I have, actually.
You've mentioned the film?
Mentioned the
For those
film.
Of us who are paying attention?
Uh-huh. There we go. It was Now Voyager.
No, Now Voyager.
Because there's a farewell scene in there. Who was Hal Wallace's first choice to direct the film? It certainly was not Michael Curtiz, he said, who had a reputation for being. It was William Wyler. Okay, so we'll stop there. But let me thank our panel. Professor Maggio.
No, thank you.
Professor Kikas.
Thank you.
And Professor Nasky.
Thank you so much, Kathy.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Professor is transcribed in the studios of the Communication Studies Department of the University of Detroit Mercy on its McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced, technically directed, and saved week after week and minute by minute by Michael Jason, and our executive director is Dr. Vivian Dix. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Let's go Titans!
We're back next week with another edition of Ask the Professor, so please plan to join us.